Well, Prime Minister Scott Morrison is now at the centre of the Angus Taylor dodgy document scandal. And it was a very questionable own goal that got him there. Phil Khoury joins us. Good morning, Phil.
Morning, Kath.
Well, the focus has very quickly shifted from Angus Taylor to Scott Morrison. I'm sure that's not what the PM wanted. This is, of course, a courtesy of that telephone call that Mr. Morrison placed to the New South Wales Police Chief, Mick Fuller. The PM's judgment is now in question. How big a blunder was that?
A reasonably sizable one, Kath. I remember on question time or during question time the day before yesterday when he said four times in response to questions on this issue, I'm going to ring the police commissioner after this and check for myself. You know, more than a few people sort of winced and thought, is that really a smart thing to do? What you probably would usually do in a case like that is, you know, you get one of your staff, your chief of staff or someone to ring, you know, Fuller's chief of staff, and you do it on the QT and ascertain for yourself the bona fides or otherwise of this investigation and make a decision. But as soon as you have the Prime Minister calling the Commissioner himself, regardless of how innocuous or otherwise it may be, it just leaves you wide open, that perception you're trying to influence something. And, you know, people always want to believe the worst in everyone in this place, and they'll jump on that accordingly. And as we saw yesterday, Angus Taylor didn't get a single question. It was all about the Prime Minister. So, you know, what started as not a hanging offence by Angus Taylor, but because of his refusal just to be sort of open and upfront about what went wrong and who did it, it's now turned into quite a fiasco, and as you said, has the PM's judgment now in the dock, and I'm sure that's not where they envisaged they'd be 48 hours ago.
No, well, certainly very messy. Now, the phone call sort of sucked up all of the attention in Parliament, as you say, yesterday, but the government has been working away at the numbers for its Unions Ensuring Integrity Bill, which is, I guess, a touch ironic given all the questions now about the government's integrity. The government seems to be closing in on both Pauline Hanson and Jackie Lambie. Is it all over bar the shouting?
Oh, pretty much, I think. Not so much Lambie. She, despite all her sort of rhetoric in the months leading up to this bill that she was going to vote for it if John Secker remained at the helm of the CFMEU in Victoria, she's largely been sidelined because the unions ran a very effective sort of campaign up here reminding the crossbenchers that actually this is not just about the CFMEU. There was a lot of unintended consequences or perhaps intended consequences where the nurses union, the firefighters, these basic services unions could be deregistered under this same bill, you know, for really minor stuff. So the negotiations between the government and the crossbench are principally between Centre Alliance and Pauline Hanson. You don't need Lambie. You only need two of the three crossbenchers. So she dealt herself out of it, basically, and Hanson, or Centre Alliance, was in the cart, you know, weeks ago, and Hanson has sort of been, and One Nation has been doing the final negotiations, and it's their amendments the government will be working with today, not ones that came out of nowhere late last night by Jackie Lambie. So whether she votes for it or not is immaterial. It'll come down to probably Hanson's vote, and there was a high degree of confidence last night that they had One Nation on board, but we'll know by about lunchtime today, I suspect.
Okay, well, certainly Jackie Lambie is very much at the front and centre with the other big bill that the government wants passed before the summer recess. That's revoking the Medivac laws. It certainly basically lies in Jackie Lambie's hands whether that happens. She's promised to support repeal if the government agrees to one specific condition, but she hasn't told us what that demand is. It's believed to be sending asylum seekers still on Manus and Nauru to New Zealand. The government has always opposed that. Would it change its mind now?
A good question, Kath, and short answer is I don't know. I was told last night by people close to this that would be considered, that demand by Senator Lambie would be considered unattainable, you know, in terms of it's just too much for the government. It's not worth, I think they suspect, it would cause more damage in their view to towards the resumption of people smuggling than repealing Medivac. That's if you put yourself in the way the government thinks about this.
The New Zealand proposition being worse than the Medivac proposition.
Well, the government always tells us if you send people to New Zealand, then the boats will start. They reckon Medivac's, you know, causing the boats to start, although there's not a great deal of evidence supporting that claim either. But, you know, that according to their own logic and the way they think. I don't know. I don't know which way they're going to jump. I'm not even sure that whether this is what she's asking, because it was badged as national security yesterday. Neither government or Senator Lambie would be forthcoming as to what this demand was, but that seems to be where what the view is. And, you know, they'll have to make a call on it. But as I said, someone said to me, you know, probably unlikely, unattainable, but depends how desperate they are to get Medivac across the line.
All right. Always good to chat. Thanks very much, Phil.
No worries, Kath.
Phil Khoury is the political editor with the Australian Financial Review, I should say.